We're continuing in our series in the book of Acts. In April, changed our sign up here, Acts 29. If you don't know it, there's only 28 chapters in Acts, but you're chapter 29, and that's the purpose of this series as we begin to engage these wonderful, it's really an account of the early church. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this book covers about 32 years of church history. And you can look at it a couple ways. Some people look at it as prescriptive, and some of us look at it as descriptive. And some people see it as descriptive, it's just an account of what happened. And some people see it as prescriptive, which it tells us things that we're supposed to be doing, that it actually serves as a template for us. So which is it here at Faith Community Church? Well, I believe it's both. You're going to see descriptive and prescriptive. In fact, next week we're going to see the disciples throwing the dice to select leadership. I think we ought to try that. Get the dice out, right? That's descriptive. We know it's an account of what took place, and it's important, and we'll learn from it. But I've entitled my message today, if you want to take out your insert, as the Disciples' Pre-Mission Briefing. Pre-Mission Briefing. And we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 11, and they'll be on the screen for you in just a little bit. I chose this title because I thought about the disciples as they're in this moment of time. We've already looked at the first three verses. 40 days Jesus has been on earth, and he's been instructing and getting them ready. But now it's coming to a close, and Jesus is, in a sense, having a mission briefing with them. He's telling them what their mission's going to be, and he's briefing them on how they're going to engage this mission. And it reminded me of an old TV show when I was a kid. I know they got movies, but I saw it as every week, Mission Impossible. Do you remember that? You remember that? And they'd have the little fuse they'd light, and they'd give you a mission. But this is, I want you to know, the mission we're talking about today. It might seem like Mission Impossible, but when we're done with this briefing today, you're going to realize it's Mission Possible. And just like that movie and the series I watched as a child, it always ended this way. If you choose to accept this mission, right? If you choose. And when I'm done today, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And you're going to have the opportunity to accept the mission that Jesus is about to lay before us. Are you ready? Let's look on the screen. Follow with me. We're going to pick it up with verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here's our first brief. It's very important. He's telling the disciples they're going to need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. To make this impossible mission possible, we will need the Holy Spirit. Now, there's interesting words used in this verse. Some of them might make you a little nervous, like being baptized in the Spirit. Interesting word. Why didn't he just say be filled with the Spirit? He said be baptized. Interesting word. It means to be immersed. How many of you here have been water baptized through immersion? Yeah? When you came out of the tank, how wet were you? Oh, did you have any? You should say this on tape, but you were wet down to your underdrawers, weren't you? I mean to tell you, that's right. You had to go get hauled. What Jesus is saying is in this mission, if you choose to accept it, you are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every inch of you, every part of you, you are going to be immersed. You're going to be covered over. It's not on the screen, but remember the few verses we read just before this one. Something fascinating as we're talking about Acts and why it was written. In verse 2, if you remember, it said, "Until Jesus did this teaching until the day he was taken up to heaven," which we're going to see in a moment, after giving instructions, are you ready? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. In Luke 4, not on the screen, Jesus returned to Galilee and it said he was filled with the Spirit. Well, I kind of get that one. But what about this one? Because we're dealing with a resurrected Jesus. Why would a resurrected Jesus need the Holy Spirit? Now, you could preach this for me, couldn't you? If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, You got it. You got. If Jesus, the resurrected Lord, if he needs the Holy Spirit, then I need the Holy Spirit too, and so do you. He also tells his disciples in our text to wait. I like that. Don't leave home without this, he's saying. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You know what I like when I hear the word wait? You know what that tells me? This, I can't muster this up. I can't pretend. I can't flesh this thing out. This is something that's going to be given to me as a gift. Isn't that what he said? So, you can't fake it. People try. It reminds me of a funny story of a zoo that they had a famous gorilla. Like when I grew up in St. Louis, we had a gorilla. His name was Phil. I remember growing up with Phil the gorilla. When he passed away, it was a sad day. He was known for drinking Falstaff, but he was and other things. But I just grew up with Phil the gorilla. When he died, I was so sad. Well, at this zoo, the gorilla died just like Phil. And they couldn't get a new gorilla for months, so they decided they'd try something, and they got a guy to dress up like a gorilla. And they put him out there in the gorilla pen, and they paid him to act like a gorilla. And he got so good at it. The crowds started forming, bigger crowds than before. And he kind of got into the role. If he got into it, he got all excited. He got so good, he started swinging. And pretty soon he got so good, he got careless. And one day he slipped off of the vine and he went right over into the lion's pit. And the lion saw him. And he started working up towards the gorilla. And the gorilla thought, oh my gosh. And so he tried to get his zipper off of his face covering. So he'd know I'm not really a gorilla, but it wouldn't work. And the gorilla got closer and closer. And pretty soon that lion pounced on that gorilla. Can you imagine how he felt? And he's in desperation. He said, please, please don't eat me. I'm not a gorilla. I'm a human. And the lion said, shut up, you fool, or we'll both lose our jobs. I didn't tell that in first service, so you're special. Okay. But I heard that story, and I thought, you know, we do that all the time, don't we? We just dress up and pretend. You can't dress this up. This is something you wait for. It's important. Luke 24:49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Turn your insert over, you'll see the three P's. You know them, right? It was my first sermon here, I think. According to Josiah, that's what he told me. He remembered this sermon of the three P's that have to do with promise. Whenever you see a promise, this is a promise from the Father, which means it's for his children. All right. If it's a promise from the Father, it's for his children. Whenever you see promise, always remember the three P's: promise, problem, provision. Whenever there's a promise, it's always because there's a problem. You think about it. Marriage is a promise. Is it a problem? Hey, parenting, is that a promise? Is it a problem? It is, isn't it? Here we have a problem in that we're going to create a mission that's impossible in our flesh. We have a problem. So the Father makes a promise to his children, and it's the promise that takes you to the provision. So whenever there's a promise, know there's a problem. That's why the promise exists. And it's going to take you through the problem into the provision. You're going to see that. Amen. That is the promise of the Father. John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. It is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not a sprinkling, it's an immersion. He's in me. He lives with me. John 16, Jesus is sounding on the screen, but remember what Jesus said? I got to go, guys, because it's going to be to your advantage, because if I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to change everything. Exodus 33 on the screen. You know that story, don't you? I like Moses. God's made a promise to him. Here's another promise. The Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And you know what Moses said? I like this. You need to say this to God. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He's saying, if you don't go, I'm not going. See, that's how important this is. We don't move without the Holy Spirit. This mission is so big. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Pick it up at verse 6 on the screen. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And then verse 8. But you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, isn't that interesting? He says, we will be his witnesses. This is interesting. It's not just doing. It's not just doing witnessing. It's being witnessing. Do you understand? This is my life. And you know, it's interesting. The Greek word for witness there, it's where we get the word martyr. Really? Yeah, people will die as a witness. I hope that doesn't have to be my path, but it could be someday. He says, you're going to need power to be my witness. You're going to be witnesses, not just doing it, but you will do it, but it's because of being. It's who you are. And this power, it's the word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. Does that sound familiar to you? Now, we're coming up on one of my favorite holidays in July, 4th of July. What do we get to do on the 4th of July? Yeah, we get to blow up things, don't we? Isn't that fun? In my house, I'm not allowed to touch fireworks. I'm not even allowed to light the wicks. I just get to sit in my chair because when I touch fireworks, bad things happen, all right? Some of you know the stories of this new station wagon that caught on fire because of fireworks. So fireworks has never been a good thing for me, but I do like watching it. But I want you to know, fireworks are different than dynamite. Fireworks are, ooh, ah, right? Isn't it? Wow, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, 4th of July, we're going to go to my son's house, all of us, and they're going to blow. It's going to look like World War III over there. But you know what's amazing? The next morning, you go over there, it doesn't look like anything happened. They swept up all the debris. What happened? I mean, this was like rocking the neighborhood, and I can't tell. But if you had dynamite, when dynamite goes off, it leaves permanent change, right? It's not a show anymore. It's something life-changing. And he says, I'm going to give you dunamis, power, so that you can fulfill the mission. He's giving us a mission. It's really mission impossible. And this is our second mission. Stay focused on the mission. This is huge today. This is where we're weak. You get distracted, get wrapped up in all kinds of things, politics, whatever it is. All of a sudden, you're doing everything but the mission. Doesn't mean those things aren't important. Doesn't mean you ought to do it. But you better stay on mission. You notice the question they asked Jesus. Is this the time, Lord? Is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And you know what he does? He doesn't even answer the question. He doesn't rebuke them. Actually, it's a pretty good question, really. And it is going to be fulfilled. The only problem is it's going to be thousands of years. Can you imagine him telling the disciples, yeah, it's going to happen 2,000 years. What? 2,000 years? Well, that's, yeah, it's bigger than you guys. He knew they wouldn't be able to wrap their arms around. He said, besides, don't get distracted by what you don't know. Don't get so caught up in the unknown that you ignore the known. That's good. This is good for me. And I love searching things out and learning things, but don't do it at the expense. Don't get lost in that and you stop doing what you do know. He says, but you will receive power. That but is what they call a coordinating conjunction. It connects two thoughts. But when it's a coordinating conjunction, it actually shifts the attention away from the first item and takes you to the second. He's not canceling it out. But he's saying, okay, that's okay, but let's set that over here right now. That's the unknown. Let me take you to what you're going to know. This is your mission that I want you to know. So he set aside the first. See, it's possible, I think, I love learning, and I think we should learn. We should learn all we can. But don't be so caught up in learning that you gain all this knowledge and information, but you can't walk across the street to tell somebody about Jesus. You've missed the mission. You've missed the mission. Matthew 24, 36. But about the day or hour, no one knows. We sure spend a lot of time talking about it, don't we? No one knows. Get this. Not even the angels know. Not even the Son knows. But only the Father. Get out of here. So why are we writing books on things that we don't know? Hey, it's fun looking at it, looking at the signs and the times, but don't let that take the place of the mission. It's the mission that you've been called to. Matthew 28, this is called the Great Commission. Jesus spoke it, one of his final words that Matthew recorded for us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission. What's in the word commission? Mission. We should call it the Great Mission. They're being commissioned to do the mission. And it's for all God's children. It's not for a few, it's for all of us. And then what does he say in that verse? You read it so flippantly because you don't understand how big this would have been when Jesus said, listen, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the... Now let's think about that for a minute. Is that mission impossible? Sure feels like it. First off, Jerusalem. Well, that's home. That's where you are. But wait a minute, Jesus. Remember in Jerusalem, they just tried to... Well, they did kill you there, or at least they tried, but you rose again. You want us to be witnesses there? Yeah. And then Judea and Samaria. Wait a minute. Hold it. Think about that for a minute. Samaritans hate Jews, and Jews hate Samaritans. You know what he's calling them to? To lay aside your prejudice and reach out to everyone. He's calling them into situations where they wouldn't go on their own, not for anything, not those people. You ever use that phrase, those people? Jesus died for the whole world. He's calling us to even go to people we might be uncomfortable about. It is our mission. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit to do stuff like that. Interesting. Write this down in your other notes. As we go through the book of Acts, you're going to see this mission. In chapters 1 through 7, the gospel is going to Jerusalem. In chapters 8 through 12, the gospel will be going to Judea and Samaria. And in chapters 13 to 28, it will be going to the uttermost parts of the world. Isn't that interesting? And then we have chapter 29. And that's you and me, because the mission is not over. It's still going. This mission is bigger. It was bigger than the disciples. It's bigger than time. That's why he couldn't tell them, listen, it's going to be 2,000 years, blah, blah, blah. It's bigger than their lives. It's bigger than my life. I don't know how long I'm going to live, 70, 80 if I'm strong. I think I'm going to do better than that. I'm shooting for 100. You know, that'd be great. You know, I'd like to, but that's nothing. That's nothing in comparison to the big mission at hand. So I'm a little part of the mission, see? It's bigger than me. I can't do it by myself. It's going to take everybody. How do you fulfill this commission? Except the church is going to do it, and we're going to do it. We're all going to do it in different ways and different places. You ready to read this last part? This is exciting. How'd you like to be there for this? We call it the ascension. Pick it up at verse 9. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently. Some of your translations say they were gazing. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Well, didn't you see what we just saw? Wouldn't that be okay? Yeah. Then they said this to them, this same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Here's your third mission statement. I took this from one of my favorite songs, Up, Up, But Not Away, okay? You know, the beautiful balloon. So you're staring at me like you don't know that song, okay. He went up, but he's not gone away. And I've listed here some scriptures from Hebrews in order. It's amazing to me. My wife and I spent a lot of time on the porch talking about this very point, because it's okay to be amazed. It's okay to be wowed by something. In fact, we often say, don't lose your wow. Some of you lost your wow. You're not amazed anymore. Disciples were amazed. I bet their jaws were dropped. When the men said, why are you looking up? Well, obviously. But here's my question. Where did Jesus go? Now, in our human, I even heard somebody preach on this, that Jesus was the first astronaut. That he went into outer space and blah, blah. I want to propose something to you. That heaven is bigger than all the galaxies combined. I believe Jesus, when that cloud covered him, you notice that's why when they couldn't see him, the cloud covered him. Remember the cloud in the wilderness? It is the very presence of God. I believe he just slipped into another dimension. I propose to you, he went behind the veil. Listen to these scriptures. Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, we just read about it, Jesus, Son of God, because of that, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize or be sympathetic with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Get the connection? Earth and heaven are now connected together. Jesus and the man tempted, and yet heaven. Does it remind you of a little prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're going to see how significant that is. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. We have this hope as an anchor. It's an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever by the order of Melchizedek. How many of you know your Old Testament history? What did priests do when they went into the tabernacle? They go, there's the holy place, there's the most holy place. When you went into the most holy place once a year, they put little bells on your dress, or your, that's not a dress because you're a guy, right? It's a robe. All right. Little bells on the robe, and they'd tie a rope on his leg. And he'd go in there, and they want to listen, hear the bells. The bells stopped ringing. That meant this guy's probably dead because he was going into the very presence of God, and they would pull on the rope and drag him out. My sweetie and I were talking about this on the porch this week. Jesus doesn't need a rope. But I do. Jesus has tied a rope on me. And one day I'm going to die, and he's going to pull me. He's pulling me right into the place where he is. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hebrews 7:22, listen to this. Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There are many priests under the old system, but death prevented them from remaining in office. They had to keep replacing them because they kept dying off. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in a better position now, and the disciples couldn't understand it, but Jesus was positioning himself. He slipped through the veil. He went to the right hand of God, and he ever lives to pray for us. This changes the mission. I mean, he could have stayed on earth. The disciples, if you'd have taken a vote, it would have been 100%. Stay or go. Stay. But Jesus said, I know, you don't get it. But by going, the Holy Spirit's coming. And then I'm going to be interceding for you. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. That was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. When God gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle, he was very specific. He said, this thing must be built to details. You can't do any modifications or changes. You've got to do it exactly the way I said. Why? Because it is a shadow of something real. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil. Rent in two, didn't it? Ripped right in two. What was that saying? We have access now. We have access right here on earth right now. But Jesus then took it a step further and he ascended. The cloud took him. You know what he did? He slipped behind the veil. He slipped behind the veil. This is one of those areas. I don't know. But I think heaven might be closer than you think. But you can't see it. It's another dimension. It's bigger than all of creation. We think, when we're watching Jesus come, we're thinking, okay, he's going to go by Mars, and then he's going, I don't know the order of the planets, but then the Milky Way. Too small. Jesus, the Son of God, slipped behind the veil, and he ever lives to pray for you and me. This mission, if you choose to accept it, do you? Jesus is going to make you do it. He's just offering you. Just like in that little show, that light the fuse, should it start burning? I want you to know the fuse has been lit. Jesus has briefed us on the mission. Oh, it's going to get exciting, really exciting. Next week, you read ahead. Wow. Hey, can I give you a little seed? When you read the book of Acts, does it feel like miracles were done every day? Does it? Like, whoa, that's not even 32 years, 50 miracles. You figure it out. Now, I know there's some that weren't recorded. So be careful what you do with the prescription. You know, you think, man, there's got to be this, you know, we got to be raising the dead every day and we got to, you know, call them fire. No, but I'll tell you what. The power is right now, today, for all of us. And you can't do this mission without it. And he wants to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you ready? You got to get positioned for the mission. It's impossible by ourselves. But with what we've been given, the impossible mission now becomes possible. So what's your one thing today? You already know what my one thing is. I already told you. My wife and I, we spent a lot of time talking about that. And it was kind of exciting the more we thought about it. Wow. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. Something happened here last night. I know we got to go. Some of you don't even know it. We lost our power here at church. There was a power thing. Mark knows he was here. And we walked out and looked at the lines, and we lost all power. The youth, they were getting ready for today. I felt sorry for them. They're in the middle of preparing. No power. All the lights go out, everything. And I realized something when I thought, you know, I kind of take all that for granted. This power stuff. It comes in handy, doesn't it? I didn't realize how much I depend upon it. And I realized, you know, I think sometimes I've unplugged from the power. I've had a power failure in my life. Am I alone? Am I the only one? What do you do when you have a power failure? You call the repair guy to come and hook back up the power. Lord, would you hook back up the power to me? Now, some of you are afraid of it. You think it's spooky and weird. No, I believe God wants you to be supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. Just that simple. Wow. I know some would like to be hanging from the chandeliers, and you can do that if you'd like, but be careful because these aren't very strong. I think you're just to be witnesses. That's what it's for. Not so we can have a good church service. Wasn't that church service good? Ooh, that was good. I got goosebumps. No, that's not the mission. The mission is to be witnesses. Jerusalem, where you live. Judea, Samaria, places you wouldn't ordinarily go, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't look at me. Sounds impossible. But I believe the mission is possible through Christ. Father, prepare us today. As we come to the table, Lord, we want to open our hearts to you. We thank you for this provision and the position you've put us in to fulfill this great mission. I pray you'd light the wick in our lives. I pray for those of us who have unplugged that we get plugged back in again. I pray you would renew in us all that you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we come to the table this morning, I left out one verse when I was reading Hebrews 4. Did you notice we didn't read verse 16? You wanted to read it. I know some of you were wanting to say it and you couldn't. Because what follows that is so important. I want you to come to the table in the Spirit. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because he's went behind the veil. That's why. It's the anchor now for us. It's our anchor. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I'm going to invite you to come to this table this morning. If you've never given your life to Christ, you say, I just come to church, somebody brought me, but I feel something in my heart today, my heart's pounding, and I just feel like there's something missing. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. I want to follow him. If that's you, I give you an invitation to come and take communion for the very first time. By doing that, you're saying, I believe. I believe that Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again for my sins. I believe he's paid the price. I want to accept that. I just want to accept his salvation today. I want to start living for him. If that's you, I invite you to come take communion for the first time, and then I'll pray with you at the end of the service. Amen. But I invite all of you to come. Just get up out of your seats, come down the center aisle, go to the side tables, take the cup and bread, take it back to your seats, and then we'll receive it together before we leave. God bless you as you come. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's come with confidence. You got the confidence today? Are you doubting? Are you wondering? You can come boldly. That's not cocky. It's not the same thing. It's with great humility. I have an assurance in my heart today that I am a son of God. And that Jesus is ever living as my high priest to make intercession for me. And mercy and grace are mine. Who is mercy for? Tell me. The guilty. If you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. You get what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. That's the difference. We got them both right here, amen? And we're going to remember and we're going to be thankful today. Would you do it with me, Father? As we receive this cup, as we receive this bread, we are grateful for your mercy and your grace. And we are confident today. We're not holding our head down. We're lifting our head up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Would you stand with me if you're able as we prepare to dismiss? Thank you for coming today. I know it's a holiday weekend. You could have been doing other things. And I'm grateful and thankful. And I hope maybe you share this message with others. But get ready. We're just buckling up for the beginning. I believe God's got some life-changing things for us. Next week, here's your homework assignment. All right? This mission, should you choose to accept it? Verses 12 through 26. Get ready. Oh, something cool. Hey, something cool is going to be happening. They're going to start gathering together like we're doing. How many of you thought church is just, if all the planets line up right, I'll go? No, it's bigger than that. It's part of the mission. Part of the mission. I hope you have a new appreciation for it. And then we'll be moving to chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come. Is that a scary word for you? Yeah, it sounds like Pentecostal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just so you won't be too scared, it means 50. That's it. It means 50, okay? And we're going to plug into it, and God's going to just, I think he's probably going to do some special things in your heart and life if you'll just lay aside. No, don't lay aside. Just we've all been taught a lot of things, and we've all experienced a lot. I mean, I'm charismatic. I came through the Pentecostal movement, and many of you have. Some of you haven't. Some of you are Baptists, Methodists, Catholics. Some of you are I was trying to think of another group, but Quakers, right? Okay, you name it. Nazarenes, you go on and on, all the denominations. We've all been taught a lot of things, but I'd like for you not, don't let that blind you, but let God enlarge your heart and just let Him speak fresh to you, fresh. Even those of us who've been around the block a while, maybe God wants to do something fresh in us too. You ready for that? Amen. If you need prayer today, after I bless you, you can come. I'll stick around. We'll lay hands on you, pray. If you need healing in your body, you just need encouragement, hey, would you like to get plugged back in again to the power? I'll lay my hands on you. We'll pray for that. We'll pray for that. We'll pray for that. God wants to do it. You're His son. If you're a child, He's your father. He made you a promise. I'd take Him up on it if I was you. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank You for this church. I love my friends so much. It's just so much fun coming here every week. And I just can't imagine being anywhere else. But I pray You bless them, especially this weekend as we think of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. We can't help but think of You, for You gave the ultimate. And You said no greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Thank You. You did that so the mission could be underway, and we're part of it today. I pray we can walk out of here with that confidence. We love You, Lord. We love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's love.